See, all sin is harmful. In fact, it's deadly. Some sins are, you know, obviously even more habit-forming than others. But we have to understand there's nothing in the Bible that suggests that we ourselves can ever make ourselves free, no matter how hard we try. Only Jesus can make us free indeed. See, the fear of God, not the fear of man, or the fear of expectations, or the fear of some other self-imposed thing. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Trusting in Jesus alone is the way to satisfy God and to satisfy that within us that longs for something that we can never attain on our own. And fearing God alone, fearing Jesus, not demons nor other men nor opinions, fearing the one who is the most omnipotent power in all the universe. He is the omnipotent power in all the universe. He is king. And we need to set ourselves in his camp. And again, I'll say it again, the one who sets you free is free indeed. Mary understood that. Jesus set her free. She knew that she was bound up. You know, it's interesting. What was she bound by? I don't know. I know that there's a lot of stories about how Mary was bound up. There's stories about how she lived her life, but they're just stories. We don't know what type of bondage Mary was under. Bound up by seven bondage, we understand that when she face to face Jesus Christ, she was delivered and set free. Lies continued. The wagging tongues continued. Lies that I'm sure persisted in her lifetime carried on into other generations. And even though the scripture does nothing to support any of these lies, there have been all types of stories of Mary. She was a former prostitute and she had a lurid past. They try to equate her with the woman who came in and washed Jesus' feet with her tears and dried her hair. That woman, you know, was an immoral woman. We don't know that. It doesn't say that was her. Some people say she was the woman caught in adultery. It doesn't say that in Scripture. In fact, I believe it was a pope back in the 5th century who preached a sermon way back then that contained all these things, and he's the one who spoke that Mary was these people, and that's what started this snowball rolling, that this was this type of woman she was. She was an immoral woman, a woman with a past, a prostitute, a sinner. Yeah, but none of that is supported by Scripture, but the stories continued. And the myths have amplified to the point where you've heard some of the things, even in our modern day culture, with, you know, movies that have come out, that she was Jesus's companion and she bore his love child and all these nonsensical things that are not in Scripture. And what happens is when we allow ourselves, for whatever reason, to be essentially bound by the enemy, even when we're set free, people will still believe and think what they want. However, Mary's story is not a story that is sensational because of her past, which we don't even know anything about. It's sensational and remarkable because of what happened after she was delivered and set free by Jesus Christ. She was a woman graced by God. Now, what Scripture tells us, she was from Magdala. It was a coastal fishing town. Some say it did have a reputation for immorality, but that doesn't mean she was. She was bound up by these demons, seven. You know, that perfect number, what that means in the Bible. You know, she was really bound up. There's no doubt she had this bondage in her life. But as she was set free from Jesus, that she then followed Jesus. She, along with other women, became his devoted followers and supported his ministry. What demon she had, I don't know. Scripture's silent for a reason, because we all have had demonic bondage in our life at one time or another. And all of us have the same opportunity to be set free by the power of Christ. And there's many people today that we deal with. Do we have to count the number of, you know that famous saying, that popular saying, which I always dislike. You know, people say, I have my demons. And I'm like, yeah, get delivered then. You know, just like, my demons, like, I'll pet them. You know, I got my demons. No, you don't want to have no demons in your life. Be delivered, be set free by the power of Jesus Christ. So whatever Mary's issues were, whatever her bondage was specifically, we don't know. But we do know this, that when she met Jesus, whatever her veiled past was, the Bible now focuses on her future and her deliverance. She stood near Jesus when he was being crucified. See, she was not someone who followed him in the good times. Hey, let's follow Jesus when he's walking around the Sea of Galilee, when he's feeding the multitudes, and when he's healing the sick, and I'll follow Jesus then. It's a great show. It's great. Got all these crowds. We're popular, and we're the groupies that follow Jesus. That's great. No, she went with him even when they arrested him and put him on the cross. She was devoted. She said, I'm not going to leave his side. I'm going to do everything I can to stay close to this one who set me free. Her devotion was enough that she did not just stay there when he breathed his last breath and gave up the ghost. She stayed and with the other Marys followed to see where they laid the body. And then she herself got up early on the first day that it was lawful for her to go to finish the embalming process. She went to go finish the work, to be close to Jesus. She was that devoted to him. And she was the first one that discovered the empty tomb. The first to see the risen Lord. The first one that Jesus even commissioned to tell the others that he had risen from the dead. And all this happened to a woman bound up by seven demons. All this happened to a woman who in her day was considered, as all women were, somebody whose testimony wasn't even allowed in their courtrooms. But when she was set free by Jesus, she was free indeed, and he used her to be the first evangelist of his resurrection. Go tell the others. Go tell my brethren. Just for a few moments, let's look at what the scripture says about that. John chapter 20. After Peter and John ran because Mary told them, hey, the tomb is empty. They run, and Peter looks in, and he's like confused, and John looks in, and he says he believes, but he doesn't really quite understand it. But Mary, verse 11, stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. See how deep her devotion goes in death. She still wants to be close to him. She's there weeping outside the tomb. She stoops down after John and Peter walk away. She looks in herself. We find out later in the text, we'll read in a moment, that there were actually angels there, but I don't even think she took notice of them right away because she's just trying to figure out what's going on here. But now she sees these angels here, you know, and they speak to her. Now, she probably doesn't realize they're angels. They're probably angels unawares, you know, as the scripture says. And they, well, where'd you take him? Where have you taken my Lord? Now, when all this is taking place, verse 14 says, when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. She didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Now, we don't know much about Mary, and maybe Mary was a very strong woman, but in her state of devotion to the Lord, and in that devotion, her mind being so blown away, the fact that she's now, he's been taken from her even in death, that he was taken away, her mind was like, listen, if you know where he is, I want him, because I'll get him, and I'll pick him up and carry him, I'll take him there so he can be buried proper. She wasn't even thinking about carrying a full-grown man, you know, that was already partially embalmed. He's just like, no, her devotion was so great, I just want to find him, I just want to be with him, I just want to take care of him. Jesus said to her, Mary. He said to her, Mary. I think it was Charles Spurgeon who said that Jesus can speak the perfect sermon with just one word. That's all he had to say to her was her name, Mary. And that was enough. what her eyes betrayed, and that she couldn't see that it was him, her ears were able to receive, and she knew that voice. She had heard her name mentioned by people for all her life, but nobody ever said her name like Jesus said her name. Think about how Jesus says our names. See, others may know us to a degree, but he knows us completely. When Jesus speaks to us, he speaks to us with full understanding and knowledge of who we are. And could you imagine that voice speaking her name and hearing that love that transcended everything else, her fears, her doubts, all these things, the love of Jesus when he just said Mary to her. Rabboni. She knew who it was. Teacher, she knew. She knew who it was. See, Jesus didn't reveal himself to Mary by telling her who he was. Think about that. He didn't say, it's me, Jesus. No, he said, Mary. He revealed himself by telling her who she was to him. Mary, my daughter, my friend, my child. It's me. Someone else once spoke, and it may have been Charles Spurgeon also, I'm not sure, something to the effect of, you know, in the garden, immediately after the fall, when the first woman, you know, sinned, and then the judgment was pronounced unto her, well, at that time, you had the weight of the world because of her sin upon Eve. But at this time, another woman heard the news of the resurrection and heard the love of her Savior to her. And now this woman, who is part of the woman's promised seed, receives the voice of the Savior speaking to her so sweetly. And I think the comment or the quote is something to the point, if the sentence must fall heavily upon the woman, so must that comfort so much more sweetly fall. He was alive, and she was the first to know it for sure. And she heard that voice speaking to her. Now, we could only imagine exactly how this took place, but at some point, there's this thing. She's in the tomb looking, the angels are there, and she doesn't even know what's going on there, and she sees the Jesus, who she thinks is the gardener, and where have you laid him? And she says, he says, Mary, and at some point, and I know how my mind thinks it happened, she leapt at him, man. She threw her arms around him. She was so overjoyed to know that not only had she found Jesus, but that he was alive. That Jesus says, don't cling to me. She had him in such a bear hug, probably. And she's holding on to him so tightly. I've not ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. See, Mary was holding on so tightly because she knew now she found the one that she was so devoted to. And she's squeezing him, I believe, ever so tightly. And he says, okay, Mary, listen. You have work to do. You don't have to hold on to me. I'm never going to leave you again. And yeah, I want to go back to my Father. But he told them he would. I'm going to come in a better way. I'm going to come to live inside of you. And we'll never be apart again, Mary. You don't have to hold on with your strength. I will hold on to you with my power. Mary, go. And she went, and she told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, it says, and that he had spoken these things to her. See, I love letting the Bible speak for itself. I love that we don't have to take extra biblical accounts of different things that may have been written by this person or that person or this authority or that authority and craft ourselves some stories about a person or facts about a situation. We could just let the Bible speak for itself. Because in this story that we know about Mary. This is the clearest thing. She was delivered from seven demons. She followed Jesus. She supported his ministry. She was there at the cross, and she was there at the empty tomb, and she saw him face to face. That's better than any of the legends. That story's better than any of the other stories crafted by people. Her true story, according to the Word of God, is greater than any fabricated myth. And it didn't need to be scandalous. She has a legacy that lives on even to this day. She fully heard and understood the words of her Savior as he just spoke one word to her, his name. And she understood the words of Jesus, I believe, at that moment more fully than maybe anyone else, but hopefully we will even grasp today because it's so important. I want you to hear this so much today, man or woman today. You don't have to be a mom to be understanding this message. In fact, one of the greatest mistakes we make is we say, oh, I wish that one's listening to this message. No, we listen to this message today because of God's words for all of us. But moms with us and everybody else understand that though these words Jesus spoke earlier before his crucifixion were probably not to Mary, it was probably some other woman, but those words I think came alive to her, and I hope they come alive to you today. That is Luke 7:47. He said, wherefore I say unto you, thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. I want us to understand something today, that Jesus loves you with the same love that he loved Mary Magdalene. And that great love that Jesus has for you is the same love by which, if you were born again, you have been saved from your sins. And the moment that you came to recognize Jesus as Lord and Savior, whether you heard your name or not, he spoke to you by name in person. And he, Jesus, knows everything and knew everything about you. Yet when he knew all of that stuff, the Bible says that while you and I, when we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died on the cross for us to set us free. And I want you to understand something. You did not have to be delivered by seven demons to be forgiven much. See, some of our problem today is we think, well, I wasn't as bad as that one. They were forgiven a lot. I was just forgiven a little because I was pretty good. If you think that way, then I wonder if you're even forgiven. Because we've all sinned greatly before a holy God. And every one of us has been forgiven more than we could ever even know or understand. And we need to embrace that we have been forgiven much, so that in that fact that we know we have been forgiven much, I want all of us to learn from Mary that we need to love much. And I want us to be devoted to Jesus as she was devoted to Jesus. See, instead of the lies and the stories about her being married to the earthly Jesus, she became the bride of Christ. And we all have the opportunity to be the bride of Christ. Instead of her, if you will, bearing his earthly child, all the scandalous lies that are out there, she became a daughter of the Most High God, and you and I have the opportunity to become sons and daughters of the Most High God when we receive Christ as Lord and Savior. So Mary's story today is a powerful testimony of the overwhelming grace of God. Her life, the 12 mentions, her life shouts that Jesus came to save sinners, of which we can say we are chief. He came to transform the broken, to lift up the lowly, to bring honor to where the world would give shame. And Mary received that. And when she heard her name, she knew she was free indeed. And then she displayed true devotion, not half-hearted. And that devotion was so great that this woman, who is now a perfect, beautiful picture of redemption, reminds us that no past is too marred, no bondage too deep for the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of God. And the woman who knew she was forgiven much, loved much, and she's displayed courageous faith. She displayed a life that we believe when we could say what we do know. We can't even extrapolate, you know, take that into what happened in the future. We can say what we do know. Jesus said, go and tell the brethren. What did she do? She went and told the brethren. and probably became a woman who told the world about what Jesus did for her and how much he loved her and how much he loves them also. So let the world have their scandals and myths. Let's hold on to the truth. That's what we want to do when we come to church. That's why we don't want to forsake the assembly, because we get all nonsense out there. We come to hear the truth of God's word. And these few powerful words from the scripture of Mary's life shine so brightly today for all of us to see. Whether she was ever a mom or not, we don't know. But in many ways, she's a spiritual mom to all of us today. And let that light that was led by Mary be a life that we can not only recognize, but learn from. And when we come from this place today, I want all of us to know that we've heard Jesus say our name, and that he loves us, and that he died for you and forgave you much. And you in turn can love much and leave this place with a greater love than when you came in, and a greater desire to be completely devoted to him and to tell others the good news of his salvation. Father, thank you today that from Scripture we can learn about this woman who stands so brightly in all the annals and the pages of history. Father, what the enemy, I know for sure, meant for evil in her life, you turned to good. What the world, Lord God, was so quickly to pounce upon, to bring, Lord, shame and scandal and all other types of horrible things to her, you turned and brought her beauty from the ashes. Father, Mary stands today as a woman that we can learn from, a woman who, like all of us, is bound up, or were bound up in some way, but was set free by the power that you alone can bring. Father, we don't know how her life was before, but it wasn't pretty, I'm sure. But Lord, when she encountered you, you not only delivered her, but you healed her body, mind, soul, spirit, Lord God. Set her free as only you can. And then gave her the greatest opportunity to be the one to witness your resurrection. And you took that heart that was devoted to you and used that heart to go tell others the wonderful news. So, Father, I pray today that Mary's true legacy would be an example to us, and that we today, male or female, would learn from her, and that as we would recognize our great forgiveness, that we would in turn be completely devoted unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.